We had started Shaftan Halach Yud Gimel, which is about a patch. We have a kli that has a patch on top of it. What you have to do to kasher that kli, because you made a tray for chametz stick before you put the patch on, and then you put the patch on afterwards. So we saw the first half of halacha that there's two chashashas. One is that there might be be'en stuck underneath the patch, left behind in the patch, and also kashering the patch might not kasher the kli itself, because that you're not getting the water to touch the actual pot. The pot is covered by something else, so you're not touching the actual pot, so you might not be kashering. That's what the din itself was talking about. We talked about that last time. Okay, the Mishnah Berurah says two things about...
How are we talking about kashering and what
Hagol. Okay, and the question they would do, you may be able to do limon kal to avoid the problems. That was what the halacha itself was about. Okay, how to avoid, get around the patch. The Mishnah Berurah says two different things, two completely different things, well, related about welding. Okay? The first one is like this. The Mishnah Berurah says that if a person takes a pot without a patch, he has an old pot that was treif, or chametz stick, and he reglazes the pot, or retins the pot, that's I think the official way to say it, you reglaze the pot, then min hadin, that pot is considered to have been kashered. Because the heat that you have to give to the pot to be able to reglaze it, and the hot, and then pour the hot liquid on it is enough to kasher the pot. That's what he says. Now, he then sticks in, I'm putting this in as a side point, even though it's important, he puts it as a side point, you really can't be samach on this because they don't always do a perfect job. And there might be spots that didn't get done well. Because that, for our purposes, that's a side point. But in din, mikra din, the glazing itself would be considered to be kashering the pot. So the Mishnah Berurah is not very clear what kind of kashering that reglazing takes. What is that hagolah or is it legal? What is it? The thing he says, well, it's kashering just like it says in Tuf in the Malach Halacha Dalet. Okay, well, go look in Halacha Dalet and you're going to find out that it says Halacha Dalet is where the Mechaber says how to do Libun Gomer, and where the Ramah says how to do Libun Kal. So he didn't tell you, does he mean Libun Gomer, does he mean Libun Kal? He says it says for sure good enough for hagolah like it says in Halacha Dalet. But in Halacha Dalet, it says two dinim. Okay, but the Mishnah Berurah is really coming from Magen Avraham. And if you open up the Magen Avraham says that if you reglaze it, it's Libun Kal. That's what he says. He says when you reglaze it, it gets hot enough on the other side that it's considered Libun Kal. Okay, so it's very clear he means it's Libun Kal. And that's very logical because the temperatures you have to do to reglaze are temperatures that are what we would think of as Libun Kal temperatures. They're not Libun Gomer kind of temperatures. And if you think about it logically, who wants to make the kli so hot? This is being done by professionals, but who wants to make it so hot that it might be red hot and it might get ruined? Okay, so the reglazing does not need such heat. Okay, now, I say this because Rabbi Shanloff has told me more than once how there used to be a company that the CRC had a relationship with that did this process, and he deeply investigated this process, how you reglaze it, and he told me all the details, which I don't remember. And then he went to Rabbi Schwartz, and Rabbi Schwartz told him that you could reglaze sheet pans that need Libun Gomer. You go to a bakery that was treif, you want to make it kosher, reglaze the sheet pans, and now those sheet pans need Libun Gomer. You put the food right onto it. And he said you could reglaze it, and that's considered, you could then use them afterwards for kosher. And I said to him at the time, I said, where's the Libun Gomer? And I myself have seen processes explaining how you do that. And Rabbi Belsky looked at him and said, no, this is not Libun Gomer. Because the temperatures are not Libun Gomer kind of temperatures. They're 500 degrees.
I use the word paper. I mean, a lot of bakers use
If a bakery uses it with paper, even if they use it with paper, the papers usually are greased papers, okay? So that they're parchment papers that are greased on them.
Correct.
That the bleed goes right through them. They're mom's greased on both sides, edible even, that you can put it on both sides of it. And either side, who knows what the guy has a sheet pan. I mean, you put food right onto it. It came out of a bakery that's been making trade for who knows how long. You know, who knows how to use it.
What do you say the degree is?
I don't remember. Rabbi Shanloff knows the numbers. I think it's in the area of 500 degrees.
And what is Libun Gomer?
Libun Gomer. Okay. Well, really means it has to be red hot. So yeah. Let's say, we'll even say 900 or 1,000 degrees we could go with. Let's even say, wherever the basis set number is. But 500 is not going to...
Well, we do often, that's Libun Gomer.
Right, and the truth is that this process, I mean, I don't know the history of this, but my guess is retinning pans hasn't changed much in 1,000 years. I mean, it's probably not a very, you know, different than they had. And here the Magen Avraham is telling us that this process is considered Libun Kal. Okay, we see a process that tells us also looks like leaving kallah. So I really need to talk to Rabbi Schwartz about this because I don't really get why he can't. Rabbi Shandloff has all the research. He can tell you everything about how you do it. And he said he spoke it over with Rabbi Schwartz.
Does it make a difference if they put in sulfuric acid and everything to clean it, the whole thing out and everything?
That makes a difference because that makes it clean.
Right.
But that doesn't do a kashrut to it.
Yeah, if it's pogum, it goes in the hagolah, goes in tam pogum through hagolah. If it comes through libra, it will not come out tam pogum.
So the amount that the bleed is hagolah deep, the way the pesukim told us, the amount that goes in for hagolah, you've been pogum that time.
That's the same. I said, libra take out bleeds that normally do not come out with
right.
The sinner. But,
what?
It's a trap because it takes out bleeds that others wouldn't come out at all. But whatever comes out, if it went through Hagola, whatever comes out also going to be a problem.
What happens if you just, let's say you didn't do any pigim, you just did Hagola for this pan.
Yeah.
So the bleed that's that deep, so to speak, is gone. It doesn't exist at all. Forget about Kaviyah. But you're worried about the deeper bleed that might still come out.
Because
whatever you want to call it. We're using the word deep, or whatever you call that. It comes out when you cough. Yeah, it does come out when you cough.
So
if it didn't come out, you wouldn't have to get rid of it.
That is without meaning in Karika, too. But as far as I understand the learning from your also is the temperature that it did to get it in there. You go a little bit higher, it will get that out.
Right.
When you have an oven, right, and you bake in an oven, and it doesn't get higher. They don't bake in a regular oven higher than 400 degrees.
Right.
So if you go ahead and you clean it, and you do everything, you get all, we're not talking about the ends. It's completely clean. Somebody got into the, I have a problem with the loops there,
right.
And I put into an oven at 600 degrees. Why shouldn't that be a kasher?
Okay, so there are those who hold like that. There are those who hold like that.
Right.
Most people hold, this michas yitz look like that, but most people hold that though tabola kas polta only works for hagolah.
Hagolah, not for...
Rigon has to burn away the bleah, and so that has to be, there's like an objective number. There's some number it has to hit, not that how hot you cook, that's how hot you have to get. There's a certain amount, let's say 900 degrees, it has to, no matter what.
In that, right, what I'm saying, but if it burned in there, it'll burn anything that got into that depth, whatever it was, on a higher temperature. Because it won't get in there deeper if I burned it at 500.
You're right, there is a small like that. Oh, most people don't say that. Most people say that works for hagolah. If the pot was only 150 degrees of soup,
and you did 200,
I'd do 200, that would be fine. But for Leibniz, since it has to burn it, burning
Seraphim Koyim, it's different. It doesn't have to be Seraphim Koyim, so Seraphim Koyim.
It needs a certain set temperature. It doesn't depend on how hot you cook this.
There are sheets at home.
There are people out there. Yeah. Okay.
And that's what Rabbi Schwartz was wrong.
Maybe. Okay, so we have to talk to him. Okay, fine. Next. Now the next mission.
It is
Eina Binyamin. Right, but that's everything that needs Leibniz. Everything that needs.
No,
you're right. It's not automatically Binyamin, but that's a. Would he say you could do Hakola? The impression I got from Rabbi Chamber was that he was saying this is Leibniz.
Right.
He was being satisfied because this is Leibniz.
We don't pass it.
I'm sure when I was going to went to what? We
have to reglaze them. That's what we're talking.
That's what I'm talking about. Is whether that reglazing.
Most bakers is not part of that. The ones who see this, that more have a bit trace in the first place.
Okay.
You walk in and what?
Okay. Good. Okay. So that's something to think about. Yes.
Yeah,
correct. Not, in the case of a suffix, then you have more to argue for it, because you have to remember, the Rama says any time you're only doing libun as a chumrah. Only you can do Leibniz Kal instead. So once you start having sphakas, so maybe it wasn't training first. Okay, maybe you'll say, I'll be satisfied with Leibniz Kal. Okay, maybe there's something to that. But I'm saying this, so then these are limiting the rule. But not to say, the impression I got was that it's an across the board rule.
Mm-hmm.
It always works no matter what.
You're right.
And so that's what I need to clarify with a short, so I understand exactly why and what he said. That's okay, now the second thing is, this is now the mission rule before that one, says like this. So maybe he'll say that. Okay, good, okay. That's what okay. So the thing is like this. Rabbi Traeger in the last halacha said, when he took that handle, said that if you screw two things together, they're not considered one kli. And bleas don't travel from one to the other. You screw. Like the way we do nowadays,
right.
That the handle is screwed onto the pot. It says no bleas transfer from the pot into the handle directly. Now they spritz. The Rama has other chashas, I think, spritzing and people touching with dirty hands, but if it's screwed together, Kvega says it doesn't transfer. There's others who argue, but most people assume, like Kvega, that if it's just screwed together like that, no bleas transfer. However, Now the Mishnah Berurah is talking, which is, I think, coming off of this Rebbe Krieger, he says, if they're welded together, if the two pieces are, they're not screwed together, they're welded together, then they become one kli, and then the Mishnah Berurah says, they're one kli, in your bleis, of course, but even then, you could if the patch was welded onto the kli, then you could kasher the bottom kli by kashering the patch. When the Machaber says, when the Shulchan Aruch says, by kashering the patch, it doesn't kasher the kli that's underneath it, that's because it was just screwed onto it, or somehow other clamped onto it. But if you welded it onto it, and it became monish like one kli, then the Mishnah Berurah says, there's no problem, you could kasher the outside, that kashers the kli, it's the underlying pot also.
The case before, and I apologize, that you're making me so, what was the case? You had a pot
that had a
hole in it,
right?
And the patch was screwed onto it. That's the way we're going to screw it onto it. So it doesn't kasher what's underneath, that the patch is covering the part of the kli. Okay. But if it's welded on, that has a dinner kli.
Now the patch and the kli, now it's just one kli.
Okay.
So you kasher the kli. It's like, just like we say, if a kli is a quarter of an inch thick, you don't say, I'm not kashering the back of it, because I'm only kashering this. It's considered one fat kli, and you're kashering it. So here too, when you weld the patch onto it, it becomes now one kli, and that one kli, by kashering the patch, you're kashering the kli.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, this nafka mina, we have a more serious nafka mina in a second, but this nafka mina has to do with, again, for handles, it's not so negir, because the Rama has other chashashas for handles that they're screwed on. But there is something that you have, at least many people have, that has this din, this Mishnah Berurah, which is like this. If you go to your home oven, you look, they're not all the same, but in many home ovens, the floor of the oven is not welded onto, it's not attached to the walls and the ceiling of the oven. The floor of the oven in the home oven is screwed or clamped or just even fitted into place, and it's not one piece with the rest of the oven. Which means is that if something spills out of your oven, out of your pot, and it lands on the floor, then the floor is trafe. Okay, if you put something trafe in your oven, the floor becomes trafe. But there's no blia in the walls and the ceiling of your oven. There's only a blia in the floor of your oven. Okay, so now, that which is very negar, because the way blias come out of the walls of the oven, they come out when zeya comes out of a pot. You're cooking chicken, and the zeya comes out of the chicken, it hits the top of the oven, it makes that trafe, and then, supposedly, then the condensation drips down back into the pot. That's how it would become trafe. It can't become, the zeya can't hit the floor. Zeya can hit the ceiling and maybe the top of the walls, but if the ceiling and the walls are not trafe, if they never became trafe, then the fact that the floor is trafe can't possibly get back into the pot. So what goes on is the trafe would be on the floor, and now they can hit the ceiling also. But as far as spilling, things falling out, they only go onto the floor. And the floor can't possibly, if it's just screwed on together, it can't possibly put its blias into the pot.
And without that issue, I don't care if the whole oven is trafe. If you don't come onto Zaya,
yes.
What does the whole wall?
Okay, but there's no. But if the floor became trafe, and then you take the piece off, take the thing out of it. There's no Zaya out of a dry kli. When I put a pot of food into it, the Zaya will rise up and blee is not come from the ceiling into the pot.
It won't go back a few minutes.
There's nothing there. There's no Zaya. It's a dry piece of metal now. There's no way to Zaya to come out of that thing now. When this liquid lands on it,
that goes up, you say.
And because Zaya has to start from a liquid. So when my piece of meat fell out of my pot and
sitting
on the floor,
all of it becomes full of Zaya and then it goes.
No, that's only by Hevel Hakadosh. That's a special case later. No, that's not.
You really
that's only if there's a huge amount, a very confined area. No,
okay.
There's no hevok there. So there's just there's
there would be one piece, then what would be the chashash?
If there'd be a piece of meat fell out and plopped onto the floor.
If the floor would be one piece of the oven, then
when the piece fell onto the floor of the oven, the floor is not the only thing that became trafe. The whole oven chamber became trafe. Because it's one big
one
piece.
Please.
So the piece of meat fell onto the hot floor.
One second. How's the whole thing? This is a piece
of meat.
It's not full of water, the oven. The oven is dry.
Rather, the piece of meat is a davar shamish. That's the simplest way to say it. The piece of meat is a davar shamish.
So
it's spread through the whole kli. Through the whole...
Yeah. The sides are all the same.
So if it would be one big piece, so now the ceiling of my oven would be trefe also. So
the zeya is going to connect to the top.
But when I now cook lasagna tomorrow, and this thing, the zeya from this lasagna will hit the ceiling.
But you're not saying that's for the entire top. It's
that will make a change. So the Rambam says, if the zeya hits the top, and it condenses, and the water drips back down, that dripping water is now trefe, and it makes your food trefe.
There's trace of food in there, correct? Or
Basmati. Well, if you cook lasagna, the lasagna goes up there, it's now going to draw a flake of come out of the top and drip it back into your lasagna. I say suppose it because, okay, we'll talk about this a different time. Maybe we did already. There is.
And that one provided that there's more than one shishim connected to the sinus of the whole time. You know, it's a big piece of me's
life. I'm not. You're getting into the details. I'm just trying to make a point that the floor is not attached to the wall. So the floor is its own. The floor might be traced. That has to do with the pot. Now we're ignoring. When I'm telling you this, I'm ignoring the fact that when you cook the kosher, things might spill also. Right. Something spills when you're making kosher. Well, it could spill out the floor, always. And then they will come out of the floor also. Okay, we're ignoring that. Tomorrow I cook kosher, and it spills over.
Yeah.
Now it hits the floor.
And
then that water boils, and up comes the zeya from that pot, bringing the trefe from the floor up to my food.
You mean if liquid spills?
Yeah, if a liquid spills, then it will bring
all the way up to the
pot. No, to the pot. Don't just hit the pot. No, I'm just talking about. I'm ignoring that for now. I'm just trying to make the point. I'm ignoring the practical side of that. Now, this shaila about bleus transferring when it's welded is considered one kli has a nafkamina in a whole different industry. That because this is the only place to talk about it, and because my special hire this week, I'm just going to mention it in here. Okay, which is this whole shaila about welded about how bleus transfer through weld is very negated to trucks. Okay, to the shaila about trucks. What's the shaila?
Mm-hmm.
When you put liquid, let's say corn syrup vegetable oil into a tanker truck. So that truck, it goes right, the liquid sits right into the truck itself. So if the truck yesterday was used for trefe, and today it's used for hot vegetable oil, it'll make the vegetable oil trefe. Okay? So what makes people calm about this issue and not all excited is that they say the walls of the truck are so thin that the bleas that are in there are going to be bustled into the vegetable oil. So don't be so worried about it. Oh, we should try to make it better, but don't be so worried because the amount of blea that's in those walls,
even if
it was traced 10 minutes ago, that amount of blea will be bustled into the product that's in the oil. Okay? So that's why people
and
take it.
The trace and the cold were both hot, and the trace and the kosher were both hot. First, it was only
as covers. Right. That's another reason. Yes, when we deal with cold things or in a binyan, because covers, then people, that makes other people calm. They say, well, it'll always be in a binyan, but it could be some like that. But in hot things, including like lard and tallow and vegetable oil, those things, where they could both be hot, so that's the people, on the bittel. They're being calmer because of the bittel, and then not feeling as pressed to fix the problem. So now, in making that cheshbon, I forgot to bring my water bottle. In making that cheshbon, you got to know how the trucks are made. The truck has two shells. It has an inner tube. What you see on the outside of the truck is the outer shell,
mm-hmm.
a nice, shiny outer shell. On the inside, there's a same thing on the inside, another shell on the inside that the product sits in. That shell has around it support rings. Every 3 or 4 feet, there's a ring going around it to give it support. It's very thin metal. There's a ring going around it every couple of feet to give it support.
Mm-hmm.
Those rings are welded onto the inner shell. Okay. The outer shell is not welded on. It's just clamped on. It's just a nice, pretty shell on the outside. They clamp it on to hold the insulation in place. That's really what it's there for. Between those rings, there's insulation, and the outer thing makes it nice and pretty, and it holds the insulation in place.
Well, so there's two parts. On one side, they're welded, and the other side, they're not?
Right, the rings, the actual rings, all the way around, are welded to the inside shell, and then the outside one is just clamped on. It's just like hooked onto it. So there's no bleas in the outer shell. The outer shell, I mean, if screwed, it's not considered.
How much is there of a difference in between the inner shell and the outer shell? Are they touching each other?
They're touching each other. Yes, they're touching. Yes,
I'm not so sure. It depends if it's they're not all touching each other.
Yes, they're usually touching. They're touching each other, but they're just the outer shell touches the rings. It's sitting on the rings and it's clamped on. Okay, so we say like, let's start like this on the support ring. Let's say is the bleas are of course bleas into the inner shell. That's where the product is sitting. The support rings are welded on. So we've seen that if it's welded on, it's considered one kli. So there's bleeders into the welds also, into the rings also.
Mm.
There's no bleeders into the outer shell. If we just took those pieces, the inner shell and the rings, we would get, the ratio is about, if the tank was full, there'd be 100 times as much product as there is bleeder.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if we figure out the size, it comes out to be'erach 100 times as much product as there is inches of metal on the outside to be bought. So at first that sounds okay. The problem is like this. This shell with its rings is not floating in midair. It's attached to the chassis, the truck. This truck, it's got to be attached. It's not clamped onto the truck. It's welded onto the truck. Okay, so now, it turns out, I made a mistake about this the first time, but we later clarified that there's two ways to make a truck. And since then, I have what to do on the highway. Watch the trucks going by. There's two ways to make a truck. Like, watch.
Nice.
There are frame trucks and frameless trucks. Okay, this is two.
Mm-hmm.
This is a industry word. A frame truck means that between the front wheels and the back wheels, there's a beam going across.
Yes.
A beam that the chassis has this huge beam going across.
Underneath it.
Underneath from the back wheels to the front wheels and the trailer.
That's
and the back. And the inner shell is welded onto that. The inner shell is welded onto that thing.
Okay.
Okay, that's used for like not food items like gasoline. Okay, that are heavier or more flammable. I don't know what the reason why they're more marked on those things. For food trailers, there's usually a frameless truck, which means that there's no beam in between the front wheels and the back wheels. But so the inner shell is attached to the back wheels and to the front wheels, but not to anything on in the middle. See, there's nothing in the middle. You look.
Cheaper, that's why they don't do it?
I guess. And there's nothing in the middle, and there's no support in the middle. So in this case, so in the case with the frame, if we were to count that huge beam going across into our bittel, to our chesed bittel, there's no way in the world it'll be fast position. No way in the world. The beam is huge, okay? It's a huge, thick piece of metal.
Not touching.
If we can. So, it's not touching food, but if we're saying that things that are welded together.
On the outside clean. On the
no,
outside
it's welded
clean.
To the inner shell. The inner shell is what's holding the product. It's welded to the inner shell. The outer shell is just clean. They weld it together.
And they have to screw through the outer shell.
They don't screw. They weld it.
But they have to get through the outer shell to get to the
inner
shell.
No. They attach the inner shell onto the wheels, and then they clamp the outer shell on the top of it. They just make it look pretty on the top of it. But it's attached to the wheel. It's attached right to these pieces of metal. Now, I don't know how much metal is there, and it even that may make us over that there's not going to be bittul. If there's a huge beam, it's for sure not going to be bittul. But with those pieces, I don't know. Let's say, pretend, let's think about it. So the shiloh was, should we count those things also? L'chaira, if you open up this bin, it says that if something is welded, it's considered one kli. So we have...
How do you say welded here in Hebrew?
I don't remember. You'll look inside, I don't remember. So... I don't know. We'll look inside. We'll figure it out. So the thing is welded. So there's three answers were given to why you shouldn't have to count. Okay?
Can I just ask something else? How does it work if it's thick? If it's a thick wall, I would think that on the very outside of it is the most bleeder.
Mm-hmm.
But the further you go in...
Okay.
You
good. That was Rabbi Shechter's answer. Rabbi Shechter said, listen, the only bleeder is as far as the kli is hot. So the shell is hot, the support rings are going to be hot, and maybe a little bit of the frame is hot. But how much...
The same thing on the other, I'll shuffle with the...
Yes. How far... No, here it's easier. It's just how much of that frame is going to be hot? So you only have to count the hot part of it, which is really drum off.
Closer to the connecting of it.
Where it's close to the connection, there it's going to be hot. If you get... Once it goes too far, it won't be hot anymore, so you don't have to worry about bleeding something. Okay, this is really drum off in...
Something wrong.
In your day about we don't say chamuk tasecham kulon. If it's not hot, we don't say chamuk tasecham kulon. So he says, fine. So he says, it's not going to be hot. Now, that's a very nice thing to say, but someone really needs to investigate it. This is...
Stop it. I mean, the way it's 100, how hot is the product?
160? Yeah, 160.
That's right.
Yeah, 180 for...
Oil.
That depends. We went to trucking companies. Tell us what temperatures you carry your product at. Tell me what temperatures.
What kosher oil is that 180?
No, trafe oils.
It doesn't go back into the...
Oh, it does. Saturated fats. It depends on if it was saturated or unsaturated. It depends what it was. When I was at...
At what liquid?
Yes, they were getting polysorbate in, and we looked at the papers for what came in. If I remember, it was 250 grams. It's part of the Hezbollah, this is what it is. And we asked trucking companies, what temperatures do you carry stuff at? And they said, you know, they told us, if it's this, it's this temperature. They have, like, you know, official delivery temperatures that have to come at.
Yeah.
There's a heat source in the oil. We're not talking about. There is a heat source to keep it hot. Okay. So the receptor said it's not going to get hot. So you have to know exactly what gets hot because you have thousands of gallons of hot product sitting, and it's with insulation right on top of a piece of metal. You have to know how hot it gets. If it's sitting for a few hours, you have to.
I'm talking about its own heating unit, right?
It has heating on the bottom. That's its own thing. Yeah, well, I'm going to leave that on the side. Yes, it has heating.
To the front.
Yes. Now, Ravelsky came up with Chiddush. He says, even though the din is that things that are welded together are considered one clean, he says, but that's only if it's welded one time. A double weld doesn't count. If it goes through two welds,
that's a double bond.
A double bond. It has to go from the truck into the ring, and then from the ring into the shell. That doesn't count. Okay.
Clean all got me clean.
Yeah, except the only thing is this is not clear, got me clean. This is welded. We're saying welded instead of one clean. Now. So I can't explain to you what the reason that is, but I'll tell you what Rabbi Schwartz said. Maybe then you'll understand what Rabbi Belsky said. Okay, well, the appearance in Rabbi Belsky. Rabbi Schwartz spoke to his son. He said, when we asked him about this, he says, oh, my son is a welder. Okay.
Yes.
So he went to ask his son, what does he think about this? So his son explained to him that there's... No, that's not what he told. No, he told him there's different ways to weld. Okay, there are different methods of welding, and... He said like this, the son talked to him and he came up with the following. If the two materials and the welding material, the metal that you melt into there, are all from the same metal, then we would say this whole thing fuses to become one cleat. But if you use different metals, which he says is what you would do in a truck, if you use, I don't remember the names of the metals, you use
nickel
to attach them together, then you don't say that the two came up fusing into one cleat. It's sort of like glue holding them together. It's not becoming one cleat. Mr. Brewer is saying it is that it's becoming one cleat. So then Rabbi Schwartz says then it wouldn't transfer. It would be considered that
one glue won't transfer.
Right. But no, now we could sort of like, you know, start piecing together. What is that? Okay, I'm getting carried away. Okay. Anyhow, so I have to say this. Here we have three different reasons why not to count the chassis. As you can see, none of them are, you know, fully solid and great. But we were holding it. Okay.
The three. Yeah, three.
One is... Jeffrey said it doesn't get hot. The chassis. Rabelski said two transfers. Let's go from the thing into the ring, and from the ring into the chassis with two welds. And then Rabbi Schwartz, he's really coming from a different angle, but it's the same.
But I hear the type of weld is not machaber.
What's
the smart? The kind of weld is not machaber to make a one chassis.
Right, that's great. When it says, the Mishmur's words are that it becomes one kli, and you get that impression that talking like, it's as if you remelted the kli. If you remelt the kli and you make a new thing out of it, it's one kli.
Sure, but it's fused together. It looks fused together.
But it match. Okay.
But if I talk about the Mishmur too, there will be a special meaning. If it's because if you don't use the same metal that you're bonding one with the other one, then according to this, it wouldn't be one gen of a cleat.
Right, it would be two different cables. Right, so then for our bitel chesmu, we only have to count the shell. We don't have to care about the truck, the chassis of the truck. We just think about the shell.
About kashrut cleat, too.
Right, yes, but the same thing would be for kashrut also. You wouldn't have that kula. You'd have to look at them as two separate pieces.
Right. That's
correct. That's yes. Okay, thing. Now. So this bitel b'shishim is very, very important because usually we don't think about bitel, but... If you hold that there's bitel over here, then you could be less mocked about your trucks.
Mm-hmm. What is the problem with the truck? What's the truck going to get full?
Now, that's the next thing I'm coming to. Now, the next question is...
Positive.
No, don't ask that question. The next question is, we're counting all the metal versus a full truck.
Right.
Okay. Now, a truck never goes full monomers to the tippy top, but it's supposed to, let's say, 90% full. But what happens? So 90%, we're still going to be covered.
Most trucks don't travel here full.
Right. Most trucks do not travel here full. But there is such a thing.
Because
the stuff washes back and forth.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's
come on. They have such things inside them.
Oh, with liquids, it's very hard.
So there is such a thing.
That baffles sometimes. That's what I have.
What are baffles?
Hey, sometimes we'll put baffles in.
What are baffles? That's what sticks.
And they put like a piece of metal right standing up in the middle, so it probably doesn't swish back and forth so much. It bangs into a wall along the way.
But it sounds like there has taken maternity.
No, just put it somewhat of a stop.
Something that has to turn down again at Shishim also, the bathroom.
Okay. No,
the question is the bathroom.
Okay. Now, the thing is like this. But there's surely such a thing as trucks that do short routes with small amounts. And for sure, guys have told us that they might do two stops. You get 3,000 gallons, and then the guy 10 miles away gets the other 3,000 gallons. There's such a thing as give it over. What?
Well,
you
had the 6,000.
Yeah,
but so whatever was in there was
bottled. We don't know. We can't know when did the bleed come out. Maybe the bleed didn't come out yet.
What about Shia Gauri?
How long do you have to wait?
So you could never know when the bleed. So let's say we talked for an hour. We don't know if it came out the first minute or the last minute. It came out the last minute, then there was only 3,000. Okay, now, but what happened this time was depends on the Magen Avraham that we talked about a few weeks ago, which is when what if the kli is only. If we're looking at the truck from the side, this is the truck, okay? If the liquid only goes up till here, the liquid only goes 50% up to the truck, do the bleeds come out from the top half of the cleat also? Do the bleeds that are stuck in here get into the liquid that's on the bottom? Now, if they don't, then I'm always going to have pitta, because as full as the truck is, that's how much metal it has. And if I say that it's 50% full, but the bleed comes out from the whole thing, then I'm going to have 100% bleed and only 50% to be
mivatel. What transferred that bleed to get up on top there? Don't you need a...
Oh, because it was traced there yesterday.
Oh, it was full.
It was traced, yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Yes, it was. When it had just or it was traced.
And now what? How
it happens
it
like
come down?
The truck is it's 50% full of a hot product. If it's 50% full, means the metal of the whole 100% of the metal is boiling hot. And so the truck should be counted. If we count the full metal, then we have all that bleer. I told you it's 100 times. It's not 100 times anymore. Now it's only 50 times as much. Or should we say not count that top.
Okay.
Okay. So this Rebbe Traeger says that you count the whole bleer.
Right.
And it's a machlokes nefer. There's a machlokes nefer.
But I'm not sure
that
somebody does.
Well,
why shouldn't
it? The Rambam says we are makel. There's no chametz tzatzah chamkuli. So there's a machlokes now. Does the Rambam mean that when it's cold on the other side, that's all makel? Or does he mean, no, even if it's hot, we're also makel?
Right.
Some Achronim learn, if you want to be
the Rambam,
some learn that if the other side is hot, the Rambam is still makel. And still says we don't say chametz tzatzah chamkuli. And Rebbe Traeger says, no, he's only makel when it's cold. But if it's hot, then he's not makel. Then the bleed for sure come out from the other side.
And it's hot on top also. When you hear
it, it's hot. Of course, you have 3,000 gallons of stuff in an insulated truck, it's going to be hot the whole way.
So when there's a chef's hector, you could, according to them, say, even if it's not hot, even if it is hot, the bleeds don't come out, that could work also.
Yes. If you're going to be making, let's say, Rabbi Shaft said, maybe
before we go.
What?
No, if you're going to say, right, correct. If you say that when it's hot, the bleeds don't transfer from the parts that are not touching the thing.
You just have to assume that that's considered shloy kenega has.
Yes. Yes, you could be making it. Yes, you
could. It's hot on top over here.
So wait a second. So it's a big muffler snap one. Okay, I have the names over here if you want.
You know, Rosh Hashanah, once you're worried about half full trucks, Rosh Hashanah goes out the window.
Right.
It's hot on top too. So Rabbi Shaft is cold on the bottom.
Right.
So he won't go up there. Here it's hot on top. I don't know what the dimming is.
Yes. Okay.
I'm sorry. Okay.
Anyhow, so we have. So there's a muffler. So now what are we going to do with this muffler? This is a muffler. So now, if you ask, you would think that the logic would be is, you would say is, I'm not telling you what you say is, that when you have this is a big machlokes achronim, okay, and we're not going to figure out the answer to this machlokes achronim, is, it depends what the issue is. If it is the rice or is it the rabbanon? What kind of issue are we being cautious for that was carrying the truck? Was it carrying is it the rice or the rabbanon? Okay, well, and a lot of the hot stuff here is this the rice. Okay, so you would think that it should. Well, if it's an issa d'raisa, you would be machmir. Kvegas says that the bleed comes out from the whole kli. You think for an issa d'raisa you would be machmir, and for an issa d'raisa you'd be mekel. But whatever it is, it's not so for sure that there's always going to be pitta b'shishim. What you realize this is the dangerousness of and why you don't usually say on shishim, because if something goes wrong, let's say you have a truck, then instead of the truck emptying it all out, some places what they'll do is they put stuff into drums. The truck shows up. And they put it right from the truck into drums. They take out 50 gallons, they move it away. Take out 50 gallons, move it away. 50, they're not taking it all in one shot. So in this company,
but why are you more worried to have drums than this to take everything out?
Because if it comes out in one shot, that's like, look, we don't talk about that. If it comes out in one shot, then there are reasons to say that all the bleeding goes into all the product, and we pretend it emptied out in 1 second. We don't look at it. That's what it says. When you empty a pot out, you don't look at
right.
it halfway empty.
Right.
If you stop in the middle, then it's just, we're going to have to look at it like that. So if you empty 6,000 gallons into 50-gallon drums, then, you know, halfway through, you know you're not going to have enough stuff in there. So there's lots of cases. So when you're being samech on bittul, then you have to be very cautious with how you let your guy use it. You can't just blanketly say use it. Well, then you have to tell your guys, you can only get full truck deliveries. You can only take it right into your full tank. Whatever your rules are going to be. It's very dangerous to be samech on the shishim. But that's what a lot of people do. Now, I'm just going to end by telling you, what do people do if they want to make their trucks kosher? Okay, like we try to do, or like others try to do. Before I tell you that. Because some people don't take such a strong stand on this, there are 25 different standards for what it takes to make a truck kosher. Every guy's got his own idea of what makes
some
a truck kosher.
And
it makes it very, which makes it difficult for the people who are trying to be machbid to be machbid. Because this rabbi, who I would usually trust, he sends a letter that his truck is kosher, but when you look into it, you might find out that he doesn't think a kosher truck is what you think is. There isn't any, it's not like making kosher cookies that everyone basically does the same thing. His kosher truck and my kosher truck are not the same thing. Okay, fine. So what does it take? I'm going to just go briefly. What does it take to make the truck kosher? I'll try to do this briefly.
Sure, I'll claim that.
First of all, most people make trucks kosher by saying the truck is always kosher. Truck number 1, 2, 3, it's only carries kosher products. And what we do is you watch, as opposed to other people, what they do is, they say is, when you want a kosher truck, I kosher the truck and send it over to you with a letter that is koshered. Okay? Now, to make the truck kosher, what does it take to keep a truck always kosher? It has to only carry kosher products, and particularly backhaul. That's the most difficult part. Is that
the word
backhaul means that when I deliver something from here to St. Louis, so that's my regular customer from here to St. Louis.
Home.
But now I got to come back from St. Louis back to Chicago. So what am I going to do? So there are brokers who will find you something that needs to come back. Mm-hmm. That's not your regular customer. Your customer is from here to St. Louis. And then you say, hey, I'm in St. Louis. You have anything to go back to Chicago? The guy says, you know what? I have something to take back I have something for you to carry back. Those customers are like last-minute customers. That's not the regular stuff. That's the most difficult to watch, that even the backhaul should be kosher. Backhauls, it's sort of like, anything you can give me, I'll take. It goes a lot. It's different than their regular customer. Okay. And then also, is that when you wash the truck,
recycled water.
When you wash it up, very good, Yankee. When you wash the truck can become trafe in the wash.
Mm-hmm.
There are truck washes that use washes again. There's a bunch of ways, but the simplest is that there are truck washes that they take the water out of one truck when they finish, and then they use it to wash the next truck again. The same water will wash more than one truck. So you're washing your kosher truck with hot trafe water. Okay, so a guy who's washing a truck that should be only used for kosher is watching what's carried in it with it washed. Okay, you know. But as I said, because there are people who rely on bittul and people and have 29 different standards, the whole industry has moved very slowly, and it's not very stable and as organized as kashrus and other things.